Hello and welcome to our Ace Awareness Week special. Woo! Today we are watching
Nude for Satan.
Which is?
It's a porn.
And we're watching it together and it doesn't get awkward at all.
No, not at all.
Not at all.
Not at all. Maybe a little bit. There's kind of too much nude and not enough Satan.
Yeah. But we hope you enjoy this episode of
Banquet at the Flum Dumpster.
How drab, how dull critique can be. It's begging and pleading for apathy. The good, the bad, the in-between. And nothing is everyone's cup of tea. No time to waste, there's things to do. Jared and Eric are happy too. They'll suffer the worst of films for you. So enter the strangest of banquet rooms.
All right, here we go. Nude for Satan.
Yes.
That is the title of a movie that is guaranteed to be something. You cannot have a movie called Nude for Satan that does not deliver on at least one of those two things.
For and Satan, yes. That's what I'm hoping for is for Satan.
I want to tell...
Just no nudity. Four Satans.
You want at least four Satans. Not one, not three, not five, but four Satans.
I'm hoping that it's a typo. I hope it's, new four Satans.
I think quite possibly we're all going to be disappointed by this movie, actually. Let me tell the story of how we came to be watching this thing today. Because a couple of years ago, I encountered the title of this movie in a book. And I immediately wrote it down as it's a movie that's called Nude for Satan. I can't not watch that, right?
Or at least I'm intrigued.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. And so I tracked it down. I downloaded it. I said, Eric, we have to watch Nude for Satan for the podcast. We have to watch Nude for Satan for the podcast. And you were like, never quite feeling it, never quite in the mood. And then one day I was skipping through the video file to make sure that it actually worked. And I discovered that Nude for Satan is porn. It's like an actual, it's porn. It's porn.
And so you might think, from that title, that should have been obvious. It wasn't obvious to us.
It wasn't obvious to us. Now, I would like for the record to reflect that it was not me suggesting that we watch Nude for Satan today. It was you, Eric, who wanted to watch Nude for Satan and wanted to watch it in time for us to release a special episode for Asexuality Awareness Week.
Because how better to commemorate the occasion?
I think it's perfect.
Than watching
a literal porn, a literal Satan porn.
Yeah, basically, my thinking is we were still at least somewhat interested to see what they do with Nude for Satan.
It's a very promising title. It's a very promising title.
It is. And so there's never a good time where I'm like, you know what I feel like watching today? A porn with Jared.
with other people, it's fine, of course. But with me, that's where you draw the line usually.
Of course. Yeah. Of course.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. Well, I think that this is also where we clarify that this isn't us making fun of asexual. I am asexual, and therefore this is the time where I can talk about that. While watching a porn movie.
I am not asexual, but apparently this is how my allyship operates now.
Yes, is watching a porn with
This is going to be an incredibly surreal and most likely uncomfortable exercise, and I'm looking forward
to it. And not the first time we've done this. To be clear, first time we've done it on the podcast.
Yeah, but in the past we've tried to edit around the porns. This is again.
Oh, please tell the story of what you did for 50 Shades.
Oh yeah. So you mentioned one time that you watched the first 50 Shades movie on television and everything was censored out. And so,
which was great.
Yeah. And so to watch the third 50 Shades movie, again, as an expression of allyship to the asexual community, mm-hmm. I went into the 50 Shades Freed movie and I edited in a fish that covered up any moment of sex, any moment of nudity, every nipple, every single one. Mm-hmm. And it was like a little blowfish that just swam back and forth across the screen and got very, very offended by nipples.
It was amazing.
Yeah.
Occasionally there were a couple of blowfish.
So there were some scenes where the movie merited many blowfish.
yes.
But
I loved it. It was great.
I have not had...
The movie was still fine.
The movie was...
The blowfish
made it better. I've seen that movie I don't know how many times now, because I had to go back and forth editing blowfish into every scene and keyframing each moment of nudity. But do you know what I've not seen from 50 Shades Freed? I have not seen the scenes with the plot very much.
Oh,
I've
of course.
I have seen the sex scenes of 50 Shades Freed in unnecessary detail.
So, in other words, you watched it kind of like a porn movie.
I wouldn't say that.
I'm just saying that is generally, to get us back into talking about this particular episode, that is kind of, I think, what people are waiting for. Whereas, with 50 Shades, mm-hmm. you can imagine that people are at least somewhat interested in the plot.
Mm-hmm.
I get the sense, as a connoisseur, of course, that when people are watching an erotic film, what they're really looking for is for the plot to kind of get back to the, sex stuff.
Yeah, I imagine that, it's used to, set up context or set up meaning or something, but there's a main event, and I think there's a rising
of tension through the mm-hmm. plot, but it's all leading towards what you want to happen.
Yeah, and so what I think is interesting about the incredibly surreal exercise that we're participating in today
mm-hmm.
is we are engaging Nude for Satan from the complete wrong viewing stance.
Of course. Yes.
And I think that that's interesting to do with a porn film, because porn is very frequently talked about as the lowest of the low culture.
Mm-hmm.
And we've watched a lot of low culture objects on this podcast already, but I'm really interested in what happens when we take something like a porn and we talk about it not based on what's making it bad. Mm-hmm. But kind of finding what happens, finding what meanings get generated for us when we look at a porn film as a film and watch it as a film from beginning to end, completely sober, without, being invested in the titillation component, so to speak.
Seeking no titillation while watching is definitely going against what people are hoping for when they make a movie like this.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think you're meant to watch this passively in any sense. And I think that what else is interesting is how I think when there are movies that, 50 Shades, or something like the Fritz the Cat movies mm-hmm. or something.
Or Once Upon a Girl.
Or Once Upon a Girl. Once you've combined the erotica with another, dominant genre, I think that suddenly you're pulled into being a real movie, quote unquote.
Hmm.
And I think that that's kind of interesting. So, like, when you blend it with horror, where horror starts to take over to, I don't know, at least 50% of the movie, and there's horror, and then there's also the erotic scenes, you're suddenly falling into a new genre, where it's, like, that people are simultaneously somehow getting titillation from Fritz the Cat, even though the rest of it is meant to be a real movie.
Mm-hmm.
And then, so you get something with 50 Shades Freed, which it doesn't have that dominant genre, but it does have a dominant plot. And I think that that's what we're looking for is, okay, if we're assessing this, we're basically looking at how much is really absent from what would be a real movie and given attention to the erotic elements.
Yeah, and I think that what's worth mentioning about something like 50 Shades of Grey is that, like, the level of erotica is not, it's like 50 Shades gets talked about like it's porn a lot, but 50 Shades is not porn. It's still very restrained as far as I can tell. Like, even I watched the unrated cut to you know, make that edit for you, because I discovered that there was an unrated cut after I had done half the blowfish, and I wanted to see if there was any difference.
And you thought, ooh, more blowfish.
Yeah, exactly. But none of the added scenes in the unrated cut were sex scenes. It was all just, like, extended scenes of random characters that we didn't care about talking.
So it is worth noting that. That is an interesting industry term, which is that unrated literally means that it is an alternate version that they just didn't bother getting rated because they weren't going to release it into theaters or anything. And so when people say, oh, this is the unrated cut, that doesn't mean what people kind of think it means.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, people assume, like, oh, this is the one that they couldn't release in theaters. It's like, no, this is the one they decided not to release in theaters. I also should clarify, because this is Ace Awareness Week, that fun fact is that this is not something that, you know, is a universal dislike in the ace community. There is plenty of ace people out there who do enjoy pornography. There's even words for it, like agosexual, if in the spectrum. And I think that's just a point of clarification that we should note. It's just, for me, when I'm watching a movie and then people just start having sex for no apparent reason, I don't like that. I just don't like it. I just don't get why. I'm like, oh, this is a nice drama. I'm just watching it with my friends or with my parents. And then, oh, boobs.
Okay, when boobs come out when you're watching a movie with your parents, I'm pretty sure that is a universal experience of discomfort.
It is. Okay, yeah. Good.
That's
why
just
is
awkward.
It in movies?
Well, the better question is, why do you watch any movies with your parents that are not animated?
It's a good, that could be a good policy, yeah.
Yeah.
Or, you know, Marvel movies or something where you're like, okay, if there's boobs, then there's something's gone weird with Marvel. Yeah,
so that's our takeaway from this movie, is only watch G-rated movies with your parents, and only watch porn with your ace friends if they want to.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think we should start.
I think we should start.
We've gotten to a point where we can no longer stall.
I think I'm as ready as I'll ever be, and I'm going to regret this in 90 minutes.
Join us after this musical break.
Remain on the edge of your seat in a moment. Your hosts will return with the fruits of their suffering. Every last thought that is currently buffering too. The time has arrived. Their opinions will now debut.
So one consistent through line that I think we had in our first season was that we were talking a lot about when something took a risk and did something different, mm-hmm. that we appreciated that a lot more mm-hmm. than when something was just there. Just
yeah.
trying to fill 90 minutes. And I think going into Nude for Satan, I wanted them to take a risk,
mm-hmm.
you know, by, like, I don't know, having Satan in it.
Yeah.
You know, you just kind of hear that title and you think, okay, Satan.
Yeah.
Interesting. Porn movie, Satan? Okay. Interesting.
Even without the porn movie, just like Satan. Just like the promise of Satan is.
Well, that's definitely the bigger attraction. But you're like, okay, they're doing a porn movie, but they're trying something interesting. Mm. Where was Satan in this? Because there was either zero or three Satans, and not four, but there was like zero or three. And that's just a weird place to be at if you don't mention his name.
Yeah. See, there's a part of me that wants to make the joke that was like, well, the real Satan was inside of us the whole time. But then I realized that because we're talking about a porn film, that does become a little bit...
Yes. Yeah.
It takes on a bit of a different meaning.
How the real Satan was the friends we made along the way.
That's a better one. That's a better one.
But no, okay. So let's just get right out the bat and say that the whole structure of this movie was off.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Both... from a horror movie standpoint and from a porn movie standpoint, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, well, I think we both made the observation around the beginning, around like the first third of the way through, that it was following the basic structure of a horror film, but instead of moments of gore or jump scares, it had nudity or sex.
Which was interesting. For a bit.
It also oversells the amount of nudity and sex that was in the first third of this movie.
Yes.
Which was little.
But that's the thing. Following a horror movie structure, you got you usually have kill at the beginning to kind of get your blood flowing. You're like, okay, horror movie. Someone just died. And then, you know, there's like a long setup. Maybe you're driving out into the woods, you get into the house, it's like, oh, this isn't what they promised on the brochure. And, you know, like, they start cleaning, and they, like, notice weird shit, and they're like, okay, what, you know, nothing really scary has happened, but you're building. You're building stuff. You're creating a world. You know, and that's the first third of a horror movie. And then, yeah, like, the last half of a horror movie, it's just all, you know, you could have people just, yeah, you got, that's where the chainsaw guy chases people through the woods. Mm-hmm. And you're like, okay. That's it was kind of still following that structure throughout. If the connection between the plot and the sex was at all evident.
Yeah.
That might have been at least something where I could say, okay, not my type of movie, but, you know, as a poor movie, that's what you're expecting. That's fine. But they didn't even try.
Well,
they had characters in the sex scenes that weren't in the main plot. Where did they come from? Were they just hanging out in the walls? Just these naked people in the walls going, ooh, my turn's coming soon.
Well, I think that the thought that I was having while watching this movie is I was comparing it to other genre films that are based around like moments of spectacle, like the horror, like you say, but also like the musical or the action film, where like the moments of spectacle are like in a musical, a dance number is an opportunity for characters to express things that they can't say out loud. In a horror film or an action film, the scenes of spectacle are used to raise the stakes, to heighten tension. And the moments of spectacle in this movie were almost entirely disconnected from the main story, which is interesting because there are things that you can do with sex scenes as moments of spectacle that also further the plot.
Yeah.
Sex scenes can establish intimacy, growing intimacy between characters. It can signal towards the dropping of boundaries in a relationship. It can be used to communicate power dynamics. It's none of that was here.
Or even in a poor movie, it can act as a payoff to a build of tension.
Yeah.
Which that was also not here, because both before and after most of the sex scenes, the characters involved either A, went back to their wall, or B, didn't even react to the fact that that happened. There was an opening scene where the guy opens a door and this is after 12 minutes of nothing. He opens the door and he's just like, oh, look, people having sex. And that just, you see that for a little bit. He just closes the door and goes and reads a book. And you're like, oh. And I really had that thought. Did they play a funny joke on this guy? Not telling him what he was going to see in that room. And then he dies somewhere in the middle here. And then he watches this movie later and was like, Lisa was a porn movie? Why did my agent another tell me this was a porn movie?
But you're also describing the scene that had the most reaction to a sex scene, though. Because, he opens that door, he sees 3 minutes of unexplained orgy going on, then he closes the door, and he does have a moment where he sits with it for a good, 5 to 10 seconds. He just kind of stares into space, as I imagine I would if I walked into a room full of an unexpected orgy and then immediately closed the door and had to spend a moment processing what I had just witnessed.
Yeah.
Because
he stayed there staring for a little longer than he probably should have, mm-hmm. if we're being honest. That seemed like an intimate situation. Mm-hmm. Nobody noticed that he was there, of course, because
they were pretty
those
occupied.
Weren't characters in the movie. in the orgy. To be clear, after that scene, they were gone.
No, a few of them did come back, but only for sex scenes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, the main characters actually had very little sex.
Yeah. Well, no, the main guy did wind up having sex because he did wind up being both a person from the past and a person from the present who both had sex with another person who was also in the past and in the present. This was actually a fairly complex story that I'm not entirely sure that I followed. There was time jumps and time travel, I think.
Yeah. Yeah. It kind of felt to me like what happened was a bunch of people got to the set without a script. And a bunch of, porn actors ready to have sex. And they said to, the general crew, hey, anybody want to just kind of think of a story here? And they kind of passed around a paper and people just kind of wrote in what they wanted. And that is how this script came about. Because, no, it didn't make sense.
No, because I think that's how most porn films wind up getting written. I think that this one was different. This felt like it had the kernel of an interesting story behind it that somebody wanted to tell. It just kind of got overshadowed by a bunch of sex scenes that didn't need to be there, and then also the whole thing kind of went nowhere, because by the third act, it was all just sex.
Yeah. And in a horror movie, where that's kind of what happens.
It didn't even amount to nothing, because the guy, he threw a lamp at the orgy that was having sex at the end. Spoiler alert.
He shot a gun.
Yeah, he shot a gun, and he threw a lamp, and it caught fire, and all of the naked women slowly turned in a circle and screamed.
Yeah.
It was hilarious.
Yeah, I think there is one thing at this point that I should clarify. It almost sounds like we're saying this movie is worth checking out.
No, it's not.
It is not.
No.
Just want to make that perfectly clear, you know, that we are making this sound more interesting than the last 90 minutes was. The last 90 minutes was not at all something I would want somebody else to experience.
Yeah, it was incredibly boring. It was the type of situation where you spend all of the scenes where they're not having sex wondering, okay, where's this going? When does the sex happen? And then the sex itself is so boring that you're like, okay, where's the haunted house story? Can we go back to that now?
See, I didn't have much of the former. I was more the latter. But I see your point. I see your point from there were people in the audience who are probably like, okay, enough with the haunted house stuff.
But like, I mean that every moment was like,
You're wanting the other thing.
It's like the grass is always greener.
Yes.
Until enough sex scenes happen that by that point you're like, okay, this is boring and uncomfortable.
What you're really saying is, you know, you just the whole time you just want to be watching neither of the plot lines and just watching something else, or maybe even just enjoying real grass outside. That's kind of how I felt. But no, it's, you know, obviously we did come into this with the wrong intentions.
Mm-hmm.
And you mentioned that, you know, this came out in the 70s and would have been released in a theater.
Yeah.
So with porn theaters, do we feel like they were community gathering places or people where like you weren't really meant to interact?
This is the part where we should really do research for this podcast.
But I think it's better if we don't.
Okay, so if I'm riffing on the idea of what I think it's like to go to a porn theater, to live in a time where porn is screened publicly at a specialized movie theater, which is just...
I think it still is.
I'm pretty sure it still is, but like...
But, yeah.
Who's going there? I imagine it's very quiet. I don't think that you, like, you know, chat to people about the movie that you just watched. I think it's the type of thing that you'd usually go to see alone.
Well, that was my thinking, was that it was probably a lot of people who went alone.
Mm-hmm.
But the idea of watching it in a theater, like, especially now, if you were thinking about it going now.
Yeah.
I think there's got to be some element of... Yeah, we're all watching this. I'm not alone in this, in thinking this is good.
Yeah,
you know, we all came for the same reason.
Yeah, well, like, now porn is much more accessible because of the internet. So if you're going to see it in person, that's a choice that you're making, that you want to experience that around other people for whatever those reasons may be.
Exactly. I feel like if we went and saw this in a theater... We would be, I think, unwelcome. Even though everybody would probably not acknowledge that. You know, everyone's trying not to talk to anyone else. But if we were there at the back going, come on, get back to the haunted house plot. This plot doesn't make any sense. You know, we're fully just riffing off of the movie. I feel like it would, you know, harsh people's buzz.
So what you're saying is that one day we have to go to a porn theater together.
You know, I'm not saying that, but I'm also not going to say that. okay, call to action here. If you want to go to a porn theater, we have a Patreon account. there is, like... There are certain boundaries that, you know, we probably don't want to, you know, make people go and spend money for us to do. but yeah, that was Nude for Satan. An interesting experience.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I'll say that. Interesting.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Speaking of Asexuality Week.
Oh, yeah.
The composer of our theme song, Tarquin Alexandra, has a new single out that we will now play to end out the episode. Fun fact for you, dear listeners, Tarquin Alexandra is also asexual. Isn't that exciting?
Yeah.
I hope that you all enjoy I Play Me Well.
God, I hate this. When does it get easy? Is there palatable people pleasing? I love you so much the way that I'm supposed to, with one foot out the door and the other one in your shoe. I won't get caught, I play me well. When you teach me how to be myself, it's all I've got to raise some hell. So you teach me how to be myself. Pleased to meet you, give me just a moment. Gotta fill my cup up with whatever you've got going. I'm so unnaturally me and you're a shoo-in. What the fuck does everybody know that I'm not doing? I won't get caught, I'll play you well. If you teach me how to be myself, it's all I've got to raise some hell. So you teach me how to be myself. I practiced you so well, I even fooled myself. I paid my dues on the long road to ruin. I'm by my fruitless self, without a soul to sell. Nobody told me I'm only one human.
If you have any comments or questions or things that you want us to elaborate on or suggestions for other shitty porn films that we should watch, tweet at us at Flum Dumpster.
Also, you know, if you are an ace person feeling very seen by this episode, tweet at us. I'd love to know that and say hi, you know? That's the whole point of this, is awareness and visibility. Let's get out there, talk to each other, and not watch porn together. Okay.